future. For better or worse, this kingdom's all we have. And unless you do what you were born to do, we won't even have that."
Asher raised a hand above his head, despairing. "I'll tell you what I don't want, Matt. I don't want this!" A thin stream of fire poured out of his fingers and flamed into the sky, singeing the honey pine's fragrant foliage. Birds rattled upwards in a panic, screeching. Raggedly panting, not knowing he knew it, knowing only that he could, he pulled the power back into himself. Slowly lowered his arm and stepped sideways to sag against the honey pine's crooked trunk. His heart pounded and his blood burned. He spread out his fingers and looked at his hand, his shaking magician's hand.
"I used to be a fisherman."
Matt was staring at him, wide-eyed but unflinching. Asher scowled. "So what happened to your throat?" For the first time, Matt looked uncomfortable.
"In the chaos after your rescue, I was taken. I tried to hang myself."
"Hang yourself?" Matt shrugged.
"Geralt was coming to question me. I was afraid I'd talk, tell him everything, endanger you."
"Geralt!" He felt his fingers clenched to fists. "I want to kill that bastard, Matt, with my two bare hands. I want his bones for toothpicks!" Matt's lips twisted in a wry smile.
"Stand in line."
"How'd you escape him?"
"Pelin Oryk helped me."
"Oryk. Another name with spikes in it. That bastard."
"He knows now he was hoodwinked," said Matt. "I owe him my life, Asher. Don't judge him too harshly. He didn't have all the facts."
"Facts? So he's on your side now?"
"Our side, yes."
He pulled a face. "Who's to say there's an our side, Matt? Who's to say I'm going to join you? You saving my life don't mean I aim to join you." Matt dragged a dirty hand across his unshaven face, wincing as calluses scraped burned and blistered skin.
"Look, Asher, I wish there was time for you to think on this," he said impatiently. "I wish there was time for a lot of things, but there isn't. You can't see it here. We're too deep into the Black Woods, but you can see it from the road leading in and elsewhere in the kingdom."
"See what?" he said roughly. "What are you on about now?" Matt looked up, as though his gaze could pierce the forest ceiling.
"The wall," he said.
The faintest tremor was in his voice, and his expression was bleak.
"Asher, the wall is falling. The final days are here. And without your help, without the innocent mage, not a man, woman, or child in this kingdom stands a chance of surviving."
Chapter 33. Asher stared at him, dumbfounded.
"What am I supposed to say to that? What do you want me to say?"
Gently distressed, Matt spread his hands wide.
"Honestly? That you'll do it."
"Do what?"
"Accept your destiny. Fulfill prophecy. Save us."
"How? How am I supposed to save you? Does your precious bloody prophecy tell me how?"
Now Matt looked uncomfortable.
"No. Not in so many words."
"No, of course it bloody didn't. That'd be too easy, wouldn't it?"
"Then what does it say?"
he asked, struggling with temper. Old Vera had tried to tell him last night, but he'd refused to listen. Now, though, he thought he'd better.
"Or is the bloody thing so vague you can't even remember it?"
Matt let out a hard breath, and his gaze lost focus.
"In the final days shall come the innocent mage, born to save the world from blood and death. He shall enter the house of the usurper. He shall learn their ways. He shall earn their love. he shall lay down his life, and Gervail's heir shall know him, and guide him, and enlighten him not.
Lay down his life? You mean die? He backed away, shaking his head.
Matt! I know, but think about it,
Matt said quickly.
In a way, you've done that already.
Sharp pain, a furious, bewildered resentment. Wrong. Somebody else did that. Not that he'd ever asked for it. Not that he ever would.
But you were about to die, Matt insisted. It was intended, and you helped Gar knowing it could mean your life. If you look at it that way, prophecy holds.
He turned away.
Prophecy's a crock of shit, Matt. It can mean whatever you want. Then forget prophecy and trust in your senses, Matt urged him. Barl's wall is unravelling. I can feel it. You'd feel it too if you'd let yourself. Don't be afraid of what's inside you, Asher. Embrace it. Extend your senses and feel the world around you. You'll see I'm right. You'll feel what I feel. Do it! Now, before it's too late. Before we're all beyond saving.
In a different lifetime, he'd called this man Sir. Spurred by Matt's pleading, he fell back on old habits. Did as he was told. Closed his eyes and opened his mind. Darkness. Seething. Malevolent power. Stuttering light. Thrashing feebly. Baal's wall dying. Black rotting patches like mould, like slime, smeared across its shimmering surface. Gasping, he wrenched himself free of the vision, the dreaming, whatever had snared him. That part of himself he'd never dreamed existed and didn't want to possess.
You see, said Matt, Daphne was right. The final days are on us. And you're the innocent mage.
Daphne. More anger, more pain. That's what she says, he muttered. Take my advice, Matt. Don't go believing everything you hear. Matt's hard horseman's hand closed about his arm and roughly pulled him around.
Daphne was born with a destiny too, he said fiercely. To carry prophecy in her heart and mind, to deny all womanly desires, her dreams of hearth and home, to risk her life every day, safeguarding prophecy first, and then you. And she did it willingly because she knew it was needful, even though it hurt her, even though she knew she was falling in love with you, and what would happen when she finally told you the truth.
Asher broke Matt's grip and retreated. He didn't want to hear this. Didn't want Matt to stand there defending the bitch. She'd lied to him, made a fool of him, coaxed out his heart, then cut it to ribbons.
Something evil has entered the kingdom, Asher.
Matt's voice was quiet now, ferocity subdued or spent.
Something you were born to fight, that only you can fight.
No, he didn't want to hear this. Not from Matt. He'd heard enough of it last night from Vera, and it was all a load of old cobblers.
I'm a fisherman, Matt. I ain't a warrior. This evil of yours, you want me to fight it with trout guts? Of course not, said Matt, impatient. You'll fight it with magic. You fight it with magic, he retorted. You and your damned circle. You're the ones been practicing for the last 600 years. Me? I ain't got the first idea what I'm doing. If we could, we would, believe me, said Matt. But Olkin magic isn't strong enough, and none of us can wield Doranan magic. Without your help, we're doomed. Why does it have to be me? He shouted. Why can't you find someone else? There is no one else. There's only you. That's why you're the innocent mage. Well, I don't want to be the innocent mage. I never asked for it. I've a bloody good mind to just walk away right now. walk away and never look back.
Matt met his gaze unflinching.
Yes, you can walk away, Asher. I'm not strong enough to stop you. No one is. You can walk away and all of us can die. It's not fair, it's not just, but it is that simple. If you walk away, the rest of us will die.
Badgered, cornered, backed against the wall of his inconvenient conscience, Asher stared at his blunt, square hands. Beneath the surface of his skin, the power simmered. If he closed his eyes, he could almost see it, a river of fire flowing through his veins. Ever since his outburst last night, his awareness of it refused to fade. He took a deep, resentful breath and eased it out slowly. He could still feel the sticky touch of darkness fouling his mind.
It's asking a lot, Matt, he whispered. One man against that kind of evil. One man all on his lonesome.
You're not on your lonesome, Matt said sharply. You've got me, Daphne, Vera, the rest of the circle.
He snorted.
Thought you said oaken magic was nigh to useless.
I said it couldn't defeat the evil we're facing, but there's still work for us to do. All of us have sworn to aid you, Asher. We'll give our lives if that's what's needed.
Matt stepped close again, his face a riot of unhappy emotions.
I wish there was another way. I wish we could have told you sooner. I wish you hadn't suffered what you suffered. When this is over, if you want to punish us for lying or deceiving, walk away then. Never speak to us again and we'll understand. But I'm begging you, Asher, don't walk away now. Not when we need you. Not when you're all that stands between us and destruction.
Silence, as though the black woods was holding its breath. Deeper in, a fox barked. Once. Twice. A predator prowling, searching for its next kill, and all the little rabbits unsuspecting. Matt was right, the bastard. It weren't fair and it weren't just, but it was simple. Maybe he was this innocent mage, and maybe he wasn't. That weren't really the point. At the end of the day, he was his dad's son. And Da had never once in his life turned away from someone in need. Wherever he was now, if he was anywhere, he'd expect his youngest to follow that example. So he would. But that didn't mean he had to like it, or play nice.
Wait!
Matt called after him, as he stomped away in the direction of Vera's cottage.
Thought you said we were running out of time! He snarled over his shoulder. You want to get this done, or don't you? Make your mind up, Matt.
But there's something I haven't told you, Asher. Something you need to...
You told me enough! Now are you bloody coming, 'cause I ain't got all day.
After 10 minutes tramping, he reached Vera's clover-patched yard. Scattering chickens, he marched across it to the cottage, shoved open the back door and went inside. The kitchen was empty, but he could hear voices murmuring from along the narrow corridor. He followed the sound to its source, Vera's tiny excuse for a sitting room. It was crowded with bodies. Vera, Daphne, Darren, and...
Hello, Asher, said Gar.
He felt smothered, disjointed. The room was suddenly hazy with red. A voice... His voice said thickly,
Get him out of here.
Behind him, Matt said,
No, wait, you don't understand.
Get him out or it's over.
As Vera, thunderous, opened her mouth to say something he didn't care to hear and she might well regret, Gar stood, dropped the leather-bound book he was holding onto the faded carpet and tugged at his travel-stained waistcoat. Then he glanced at all their horrified faces. I'd like a moment in private with Asher. I got nowt to say to you.
Gar held his hot gaze unflinching. All right, then I'll talk and you can listen.
Hear him out, Matt said, his voice low. Please.
The river of fire burned hotter still. It was almost sweating out of him.
Why should I? Because we need him. And he saved my life.
He wasn't expecting that. Startled, he looked at Matt, who nodded. Something must have changed in his face then, because without a word, Daphne and Vera and Darren got out of their chairs and headed for the sitting room door. He stood aside to let them pass, refused to meet Daphne's anxious eyes or give Darren the satisfaction of acknowledgement. Matt nodded.
Thank you.
Then he was gone too. The door was closing, and it was just him and Gar. He felt sick, his vision still clouded with scarlet.
You got 2 minutes, he said. Then I'll walk out of here and you don't exist any more.
Gar's pale lips pressed tight. Then he sighed. You hate me. I understand that. But don't let hatred blind you to the truth. Matt's right. You need me, Asher. You won't defeat Conroyd without my help.
Conroyd?
Well... Gar bent to retrieve the dropped leather-bound book and frowned at its mottled cover. The thing that used to be Conroyd. He didn't want to ask. He didn't want to ask.
What are you bloody on about?
He asked roughly.
What's Geralt got to do with this?
Gar held up the book. This is Baal's diary. Derm found it but didn't tell anyone. He used an incantation in it to breach the wall. Morg was waiting on the other side. He...
Morg?
The magician your ancestors ran away from 600 years ago? He laughed.
You're crazy!
I know it sounds fantastic, said Gar. Impossible, but it's true. He came through the breach in the wall Derm foolishly opened and masquerades now as Conroy Geralt, Lur's king and weatherworker. I think he's the evil your prophecy spoke of.
It ain't my bloody prophecy!
Well, whoever it belongs to, it's about to be fulfilled. The wall is falling, Asher. Matt feels it, and I'll bet you feel it too. The last thing he intended to discuss with Gar was feelings.
You're mad.
How can Morg be Conroy Geralt? Don't you reckon someone would have noticed? He's lived 600 years, Asher. He's skilled beyond imagining. And it is him. Conroy's no longer himself. I've seen changes. And Derm tried to warn me before he died. I didn't understand him then, but I do now. I think Morg used him to begin with. I think he's why my family died, how I got my magic, and why it failed. Morg is behind it all.
Asher rubbed a hand across his tired face, his stinging eyes.
And you want me to confront him, eh? The most talented, vicious magician your people ever bred, one strong enough to survive for 6 centuries, strong enough to bring down Baal's wall all by himself. Me, an oaken fisherman who can make it rain at a pinch and then has to sit around snivelling for 2 hours after.
He turned for the door.
You're out of your sinking mind.
No, wait! I haven't finished, said Gar, and leaped forward to clutch at his arm. Without thought, without planning, he let the barely leashed power boil out of him, let it rip Gar's fingers from his sleeve and smash him across the room, knocking an armchair sideways and hurling him into the wall. Coughing, choking and running with blood, Gar staggered to his feet.
Asher, please, don't you touch me,
he ordered, shaking with rage.
Don't ever touch me!
The sitting room door flew open and Vera tumbled in.
What are you doing? What's going on here?
She demanded.
It's nothing, Gar answered, wheezing. I'm all right.
a misunderstanding. Please, Vera, leave us to talk.
There's nought left to say, Gar. You've had your 2 minutes, he spat, and now you don't exist.
Vera stood in the doorway, blocking his exit.
What nonsense is this? 2 minutes? Pah! You'll stay here and listen for as long as need be, until you've heard all Gar has to say.
I ain't interested in what he's got to say. Listening to him landed me in this mess to start with.
She slapped his face.
Prophecy landed you in this mess, child, 6 centuries before you were born. Were you listening last night, or did I talk myself hoarse for nothing? Did my Raefel die for nothing? Prince Gar is a part of this business. He's of the usurper's house, and you will hear him. Do I make myself clear?
Ears ringing, cheek burning, he stared at the angry old woman.
You might want to think twice hitting me, since I'm the only one as can save your wrinkly hide.
Child, child, I'll hit you as many times as it takes to drive sense into your fool's stubborn head. Don't you know we're out of time?
Sticky with blood, his legs unsteady, Gar stepped forward.
What do you mean, Vera? What's happened now?
She didn't answer, just turned on her heel and stamped along the corridor towards the kitchen end of the cottage.
Asher, said Gar, his hands upturned. We should see what she's talking about. It sounded important.
Itching to hit Gar again, he turned on his heel and stalked after Vera. Gar's footsteps followed behind him, sounding uneven, as though he were hurt.
Good. Let him be hurt. He deserved a few bruises and a whole lot more.
The kitchen's back door stood open. The others were outside already, scattered about the yard. Seeking solitude, he moved over to the henhouse. Gar joined Darren by the pig pen and rested a hand on the old crow's shoulder. Seeing the blood on him, Darren made to protest. Gar smiled and shook his head, not dismissive, but reassuring. Watching them, Asher scowled. Something had changed there, some balance had shifted. He looked away.
Good luck to him, the miserable bastards. They bloody deserved each other.
Vera, her tatty cardigan pulled close to her body, had joined Matt and Daphne, a stone's throw from the stable. All of them, silent, stared at the sky. The morning's blue brightness had almost disappeared. Now the air above the black woods was bellicose with clouds. They seemed too close to the ground, low enough nearly for a tall man to touch. Grubby white and dirty grey, they whirled and streamed and jostled like live things, with a kind of mean-spirited deliberation.
It looks like west wailing, Gar said, hushed. Weather run amok. Power without form or purpose.
An ominous rumble trembled the air. Birds exploded from the treetops, flapping away. The horses crammed in the stable whinnied in sudden loud fear. There was a crash as hooves kicked timber. The donkey in its little enclosure off to the side echoed their distress with a nerve-shattering bray. Asher rubbed the prickling skin inside his shirt sleeves.
The weather magic's unravelling. The threads binding it to the earth, the mountains, are coming undone.
Daphne turned.
You can feel that?
He kept his gaze pinned to the curdling clouds. The unwanted knowledge inside him, transferred from the weather orb to that secret place in his mind, was chiming loud alarms, setting his teeth on edge. It was like standing on the headlands watching a bad storm roll in over Dragon Teeth Reef. The air alive with lightning, with wildness, contemptuous of kings and their magics, determined to lash without mercy. It was just like that, only 1,000 times worse. He looked at Matt.
This is just the beginning, I reckon.
Another rumble of thunder, louder this time. This time the ground beneath their feet grumbled a reply. Matt clapped his hands to his head, groaning. Asher closed his eyes. Letting his woken instincts guide him, he stretched his mysterious senses into the air. What he found there made him gag. It was worse now than it had been in the woods. The world around him smelled rotten, rank and putrid, like a carcass blown with maggots. He opened his eyes, spat sour saliva onto the grass.
I can stop this, maybe. I got the weather magic in me. I could fight it, stitch up the worst holes, buy us some time.
No, said Gar, alarmed. Don't you understand? Morg will sense it. He'll know you're alive. The only way to stop this is to stop him. Kill him, and quickly, before it's too late, before the land tears itself to pieces. The West Wailing Storm will be nothing, nothing compared with what's coming.
Aye, well you'd know, Asher drawled, being a cripple and all.
How dare you! Shouted Darren, pushing forward. Ungrateful peasant! After everything he risked coming here to you, endangering his life, walking for miles, just to bring that wretched diary where it might do the most good.
Good? What's it good for, Darren? Arse-wiping? Or maybe I should throw it at Geralt. Could be it'll knock him arse over eyeballs and dash out his brains. Maybe that's what it's good for.
Lifting a placating hand at Darren, Gar answered, It's good for more than that, Asher. You didn't let me finish inside. Baal's diary is full of spells, incantations, weapons of war that can bring Morg down, and I can teach them to you.
Asher laughed. You can?
All right, then, said Gar, flushing. Perhaps teach is the wrong word. I can translate them, explain them, show you in theory how they're performed. I was a magician, Asher, if only briefly. I've not forgotten everything yet. If your friends here are right about you, that might work. You're strong enough to use the weather magics, after all. You might be strong enough for this.
He is, said Vera bleakly. He has to be, else prophecies misled us. And all that's left is death.
Prophecy hasn't misled us, said Daphne, angry. Don't you dare lose faith, Vera. You're the Circle Guardian. You don't have the right to lose faith.
She turned to Gar.
These war spells, how long will it take you to translate them? How fast can they be learned?
Gar shrugged. Learning them's up to Asher. As for the translations, I'll need at least a day. The language they're written in is archaic and complicated. I think Baal used some kind of verbal trickery in case the wrong person chanced to read them.
What does that mean? Said Vera. Is there danger?
Not to me, said Gar, pulling a face. I no longer have the means to activate the incantations, but if I mistranslate them and Asher tries to use them, well, it might get very messy. He snorted.
Wouldn't be the first time you tried to kill me.
Vera turned on him.
Stop that! Is there time for your petty bickering when we stand beneath a sky like that?
She jabbed a pointed finger upwards, and they tilted their heads to look. The thickening clouds had darkened like a bruise, sickly green and purple. Some were turned scarlet, like blood blisters. As they stared, silenced, scattered drops of rain plummeted groundwards, stinking of sulphur, stinging where they struck exposed flesh.
Time to get organized, said Vera,
and made shooing motions towards the cottage.
Matt, get that donkey under cover, then see to making those horses and the wagon as roadworthy and weatherproof as possible. I should have enough canvas and timber tucked away in the shed there for the makings of a wagon cover. Daphne, set to work in the kitchen preparing provisions. We'll be heading back to the city soon.
The city? He said.
Why go back to the city?
Because that's where Morg is, Vera answered. That's where you must confront him.
She turned away.
Darren, you help Daphne. Gar, get to work on those translations. Asher.
He scowled at the old woman, disliking her intensely.
What? You come with me, child. We've circle business to see to.
Another roll of thunder, a vivid crack of lightning. The last ragged peepholes of blue sky disappeared entirely.
Hurry!
Shouted Vera, as the rain fell down in earnest, and they scattered to do her bidding. Aware of Asher's furious resentment, Vera ushered him into a bedroom and calmly closed the door, smiled at him gravely, and patted his arm.
Have a seat, child.
As he threw himself into the furthest armchair, she rolled back the carpet, revealing her circle stone hidey-hole. Glancing up, she caught a glimmer of interest in his eyes, quickly stifled. With a grunt, she lifted the hidey-hole's lid and set it aside. In the dim light, the circle stones glistened. Beyond the bedroom window, the rain lashed down hard.
Here is the circle,
she said, and drifted her fingers across the stones. They felt warm, comforting.
Each crystal is a person, sworn to wait and serve. Dedicated to you, Asher. Dedicated to your fate. Your destiny. Each one would die for you as Raphael died, if it meant the defeat of evil. No, don't reject them, she added, as he shifted sharply in his chair. They chose this, Asher. No one forced the burden upon them. They are special, as you are special. Don't hurt them by denying their gift. There is no greater service than service performed on behalf of the innocent mage.
Even though I never asked them for it?
You didn't have to. Prophecy asked, and they answered. That should be enough to satisfy you.
He scowled at her.
And if it ain't?
But it is,
she said softly.
Why else do you think you're so angry?
She patted the floorboards beside her.
Come sit with me. I think it's time you met them, child. They've a part to play in the battle upcoming, and it's best not to fight beside strangers.
Grudgingly, he joined her.
They're all going to the city too?
She shook her head.
That's not possible. We're too far flung.
Then how are they supposed to help me?
By lending you their strength when you need it.
She touched his knee.
Don't worry. It'll all be clear soon enough.
She reached into the hidey-hole and withdrew the one crystal she'd never yet used, unwrapped its soft silk covering, and held it carefully in one hand. It was the most beautiful crystal in the kingdom, one of a kind, forged from shards of all the other circle stones by Javael himself. She closed her eyes and sank into a light trance, acutely aware of Asher beside her and the multifaceted crystal nestled warm and waiting in her palm. With her other hand, she touched each circle stone, calling to its owner, summoning them to the link. Not one by one, but all together, showing each to the other for the very first time in the circle's history. Three stones she left untouched, Raphael's, Daphne's, and Matt's. Raphael had already done his part, while Daphne and Matt would lend strength in different ways. At last the remaining circle members were united. Through the shimmering shadowed link, she saw their beloved faces, felt their curiosity and fear, their excitement and their trepidation. Let it flow through her like a river, like a soft breeze, like a sigh.
Vera, Vera, Vera.
My dear friends, she greeted them. Welcome.
I've called you now, in this time and to this place, to share with you completely what many already suspect or know. The final days are upon us. The innocent mage is revealed. The evil foretold has risen. And we are all that stands between it and the end. Now comes the time for the circle to join hand in hand and deny evil its dominion. Are you with me?
Thundering through the link, all their separate voices singing as one. We're with you, Vera. We're with you. Tell us what to do. Blindly, she reached out and took Asher's hand, felt his brief resistance, then felt him surrender and submit. Heard him gasp as he was admitted to the shadow world of circle communication.
Behold, friends, our innocent mage, young and fiery, and full of ire. The evil we battle has touched him already. Bravely he carries the scars. Bid him welcome, and share with him your hearts.
Welcome, Asher. Welcome, our innocent mage. Know we stand with you, beside you, behind you, no matter what may be. She felt Asher's hand tremble in hers as the circle's love poured through him, heard his ragged breathing.
Speak, Asher, she whispered. The circle will hear you.
I can't. What do I say? He muttered.
Whatever comes to mind.
I don't know why I'm chosen, he said at last, hesitant. Can't believe there ain't nobody better than me. But since I am, since it don't seem there's anyone else, I'll fight this evil best as I can. Can't promise to win, just that I'll fight. Bless you, Asher, and we fight with you, never fear.
Vera squeezed his fingers.
And so we will. Dear friends, this circle forged will stay unbroken. Go about your daily lives until I call you, and when that call comes, stop what you're doing wherever you are, and pour all your powers, all your strength, into this binding link. Pour it into Asher, that he might in the end prevail.
Call us, Vera, and we will come.
Withdrawing from them was a wrenching pain that sprang tears to her eyes. Reverently, she laid the crystal on the floor, then looked at Asher, stunned and silent by her side.
You see, she said softly.
He nodded, his anger softened, his face pliable with understanding.
Aye, at least I reckon I'm starting to.
Then will you not find a way to make peace with Gar? To put aside the hardships he's caused you, knowing it was all in the service of prophecy?
He pulled his hand from hers. That's got nought to do with this. What's between me and Gar is between me and Gar. You keep yourself clear of it, Vera. Clear of me and Daphne, too. Since I got no choice, I'll be your innocent mage. I'll fight your battles for you. But that don't mean you got leave to dance in and out of my life on a whim. Understood? She sighed.
Understood, child.
Tucked away in the corner of her hidey-hole was a felt-wrapped bundle. She pulled it clear and laid it on the floorboards.
What happens now? Said Asher.
Polite enough, but with hidden flint sharp in his voice. She looked up, and deep into his eyes.
Do you trust me, Asher?
He shrugged. I'm still here, ain't I? She unwrapped the bundle, revealing a hammer and a knife. The hammer she lifted, and before she could hesitate or waste time with regrets, struck it sharply to the forged crystal Javel had made. Asher cried out in protest as it shattered into myriad pieces, glittering with all its colours.
Don't fret, she told him. The circle's unbroken. This is just the next step.
Swiftly,
she sifted through the shards, searching for the perfect piece. Finding it, she put it to one side, then again turned to Asher.
"Bare your breast to me, child," she commanded. "On the left, above your heart."
He stared at her. "What?"
"You said you trusted me, Asher. I swear I'll do you no harm."
Then she pulled a small face.
"Well, no great harm, and not lasting either."
He wanted to refuse her, she could see it in his eyes, but some lingering memory of the circle persuaded him. Scowling, he pulled open his shirt, scowled harder when she lifted the knife. Its sharp blade glinted wicked in the lamplight. He sucked in a deep breath.
"Vera, Vera!"
She struck without mercy, slicing open the thick muscle of his chest directly above his heart, sliced lengthways, then dropped the knife and thrust in her finger, tearing apart the muscle's long fibers, creating a hole. Blood made her finger slippery. His harsh breath was hot in her face. She picked up the crystal shard and pressed it into the wound, forcing it deep inside the tissue. He was gasping now, grunting with the pain, with indignation and shock. She leaned towards him, put her forehead hard to his, clasped the nape of his neck with her left hand, and pressed her bloodied fingers to his chest.
"Breathe with me. Breathe with me," she whispered. "Come, child, it's nearly over. And what is pain but a mere sensation?"
Hidden words rose tumultuous to her tongue, words she'd been given long years ago, but thought never to be called on to speak. His wounded flesh heated, moulded, grew cool. She let her hands fall free of him, sat up straight, and smiled into his face.
"Done then, and well done too. Good boy."
"You bloody mad crazy old woman," he shouted, scrambling to his feet. "What do you think you're doing, carving me like a Boles Day roast? What kind of craziness is this?"
Bone weary now and emptied, she looked at the flesh of his chest. No wound there anymore, not even a scar. Just a faint irregularity where the crystal shard was hidden.
"You're one with the circle now, child," she told him. "They're a part of you, unremovable. When the time comes and the power is called for, you'll have it at your fingertips, in your blood and bones."
Those fingertips were scrabbling at his chest.
"What? What? What are you talking about?"
"Quiet your mind," she advised him. "Sink deep inside yourself. Can you feel them, Asher? All our good friends of the circle? Can you hear their heartbeats, waiting?"
Startled, he stared at her, closed his eyes, then jumped as though stuck with a pin.
"Sink me bloody sideways,"
she chuckled.
"What I told you last night of our magic, Asher, is only the beginning. There's more to learn yet, and much you could teach me, if we had the time. There's magic in you I doubt I'll ever understand, but that's how prophecy wanted it, and who am I to question prophecy? Have a look in my top dresser drawer, will you? There should be a blue felt drawstring bag in there."
Bemused, bewildered, he found the bag she wanted and tossed it to her. She gathered up the other broken pieces of the hammered crystal and slipped them safe inside.
"Now what?"
he said, still rubbing at the place on his chest, though she knew he had no more pain there.
"Now go clean yourself up, and don't mention this to the others. I'll tell them myself when the time's right."
He snorted. "There's only Matt I'm talking to."
"Then don't tell him,"
she snapped, impatient.
"Go and see if he needs help with the horses, or the wagon. Make yourself useful at any rate. When those war spells are ready for you to practice, everything else must be done."
She looked to the bedroom window, out at the pouring rain.
There's precious little time left.
He nodded, went to the door, then stopped, turned. All of a sudden, he looked young and uncertain.
Vera, can I do this?
She poured all her hope and believing into a smile.
Yes, child, you can.
He smiled in return, swift and wry.
Crazy old woman,
he muttered, then left her alone. Heart aching, she creaked to her feet, tidied up her chamber, then went to the kitchen to help. Chapter 34. In the city, unsummoned water poured from the sky, alarming its insect inhabitants. Morg lounged on his townhouse balcony and watched the stinking rain fall, listened to the jabbering insect voices in the street below, and savored the swelling sense of alarm. In the distance, Baal's dying wall shuddered. Blubbery Willa came panting to see him.
Your Majesty! Your Majesty! Baalsman Hull's craves an urgent audience. Shall I send him away too?
Morg smiled. He'd been wondering how much longer he'd have to wait before the Baal sot came bleating.
No. Show him into the drawing room, Willa.
He lingered a few moments longer, just to appreciate his handiwork, then sauntered downstairs to join Baal's little champion. On his entrance, the cleric leaped to his feet. He was looking harried, distressed, no flowers in his Baal's braid. There was a stain on the front of his workday robes.
Conroid,
he said, his reedy voice unsteady.
I confess all my hopes were pinned upon not finding you here, upon the frail hope that these inclement conditions were the result of your weatherworking inexperience and the lack of a master magician. But as you are here, and not at work in the weather chamber.
His voice trailed off, and his hands clutched each other convulsively.
Conroid, you must have seen the wall. Do you have an explanation?
It was too soon yet to reveal his true face, so he arranged his expression into a mask of sorrow and disciplined alarm.
Ephraim, dear Ephraim, indeed, you've read my mind. I was about to send for you, as it happens. I need your help.
Anything, anything, said Fool Holes fervently. Just tell me what I can do. Tell me what's gone wrong.
He took a turn about the room, pretending to an agitation he was very far from feeling.
I've not said this to another soul, Ephraim, and I must ask you to keep it secret. If word gets out, I fear for the people's safety. Baal's wall is damaged. Not beyond my power to heal, of course, he added as the cleric stifled a shocked moan and sank into the nearest chair. But certainly it will take some time. Blessed Baal's weather magics have shown me how to effect a remedy, and I'm doing all I can. In time, I will succeed. But there will be more rain and other unpleasantness before I have completely undone the damage.
Asher, said Holes, uncommonly vicious, this is the doing of that renegade Olkin.
Morg bowed his head in feigned sorrow.
Yes, I fear so.
Have you spoken to that idiot, Gar?
No, he said after a moment. Why would I? Gar Torvig is a private citizen now, irrelevant and unnecessary.
Yes, but he was there when Asher tinkered with the weather, Holes said eagerly,
filled with a sudden false hope.
Perhaps he can tell us exactly what the criminal did, in detail. Perhaps that will help you put things right.
An ingenious thought, if pointless, but interrogating the cripple would give Holes something to do, keep him out of the way. He nodded.
Bless you, Ephraim. I should have thought of this myself.
No, no, Conroyd. You are pushed to your limit.
Morg nearly laughed aloud at that. I'm afraid, Ephraim, all the wonderful plans we hatched the other night will have to wait a little longer. Unless I rescue us from Asher's perfidious treachery, we'll have no glorious future.
Of course, agreed Holes, standing. Nothing is more important than the repairing of Baal's wall. That is your sacred duty, Conroyd.
He nodded. Precisely. Now, as it happens, you can serve me in two other matters. Firstly, keep the city's population occupied with prayer. You need not be specific. A supportive exhortation on my behalf should be sufficient. I thought it might help allay the people's worries and let them feel they can contribute to the well-being of our beloved kingdom. It will also stop your subordinate clerics from speculating unwisely.
Holes nodded.
Of course. What else?
Until this crisis passes, I think it would be wise to suspend all council activity, privy and general.
Are you certain?
Holes said, frowning.
There is still the business of the kingdom to conduct.
But will it be profitably conducted while the weather remains unbalanced? Morg shook his head, as though it mattered. I think we both know the answer to that. The guilds will agitate, and our Doranan brethren will press for some arcane involvement. As it is, Ephraim, I turn away unsubtle requests for an audience every hour.
Unhappily, the Dodderer nodded.
Yes, yes. I fear this latest transition of power has upset a great many people.
Upset? Morg turned away, hiding a gleeful smile. The insects had yet to learn the meaning of the word. I take it as a great personal favor, Ephraim, if you could announce my decision in an emergency council session. I'll have Willa notify the councillors. Make sure you exhort them to pray hard for our kingdom's delivery.
Holes bowed.
Of course, Your Majesty. Be assured I will see to it.
Concealing his distaste, Morg embraced the gullible cleric.
I trust you implicitly, Ephraim. Go now and minister to our kingdom. Use Willa as you would a servant of your own.
You won't need him?
Need Willa?
It's a sacrifice I'm ready to make in the service of beloved Lur, he said gravely. Baal's blessings go with you, dear friend.
Alone again, gloriously alone, Morg stretched out on the study sofa, closed his eyes, and listened to the music of thunder as it rattled the vulnerable window panes. Beyond Vera's curtained sitting room, the wind howled mercilessly, without surcease. Unrelenting rain hammered the ground outside, and hail the size of hen's eggs thudded against the cottage's thatched roofing. Gar glanced up, frowning. He'd heard it smash a window earlier, but hadn't gone to look. Someone else would deal with that. He had to stay focused on his own task, the accurate translation of Baal's hoarded, horrible spells. Some half-dozen he'd completed already, and handed over to Vera so Asher might learn their dangerous intricacies. Perhaps a dozen more remained for him to decipher. They made his head hurt. The door opened, and Daphne came in.
Soup, she said, balancing a tray. And bread. You've been cooped up here for hours. You should eat something.
Behind her concern, deep sorrow. Her eyes were hollow, her lips deeply bracketed with lines of pain. He pushed aside his papers and took the tray from her. Steam wafted from the soup bowl, fragrant, but still unappetizing. She went to the window, tugged apart the faded curtains, and stared at the pitiless downpour. He put down the tray, picked up the spoon, and made himself swallow a little broth. Chicken. As a child, it had been his favorite. He said, watching her,
I take it that where Asher's concerned, you've ceased to exist too? She flinched just a little.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Fine, he said, and swallowed more soup. Chewed on the bread, which was stale. What's everyone else doing?
Matt's cluttered the kitchen with harness, and he and Darren are oiling it.
He choked. Darren's oiling harness?
He's determined to be useful.
Dear old man. And Vera? Daphne hesitated a moment.
She's outside in the shed with Asher, helping him learn your war spells.
His spoon dropped into the bowl. Vera can do war spells?
No, said Daphne, turning away from the window. But since Asher refused to let you help him practice, she's just keeping an eye on him. You know, in case...
In case he accidentally killed himself.
I see. But he's doing fine. Vera says you'd think he'd been summoning war beasts since before he could walk.
Did you know that about him?
I knew nothing about him, beyond he is the innocent mage.
She rubbed her hands up and down her arms.
It's cold.
It is, he agreed. The trip back to Dorana will be miserable, I think. In more ways than the merely physical. She nodded at Baal's diary, shoved to one side on the little work table he'd been using.
Can an arrogant dead woman's scribblings really save us?
I don't know, he said, stifling a prickle of anger that Baal should be described so. Then he shrugged, his fingers caressing the diary's mottled cover. I hope so, or at least help Asher to save us. If he can. If he really is what you think.
Of course he is, she said sharply. Or do you doubt me now? And Vera? And everything else you've seen and heard?
He smiled at her, feeling sour. Daphne, with everything that's happened these past weeks, if you told me my name was Gar, I'd feel a moment's doubt. Her face softened.
Yes, I suppose you would. So many things turned topsy-turvy.
So many things. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound critical. If we do survive the coming days, if Lur survives them, we'll have you and your circle to thank for it.
And Asher?
She bit her lip, turning back to the window and the bleak view beyond it.
Will it never stop raining now, I wonder?
What did your vision show you? She shivered.
Horrors I'd rather forget.
Yet they showed you Asher, too. Can we have one without the other?
Who knows?
She pulled the curtains closed again, hard, then hugged herself tight.
Not me.
It appears between the two of us we don't know much at all, he said, and tried to make a joke of it. Unamused, she stared at him, her eyes large and dark.
How could you not know, you Dorinan? She said, face and voice accusing. You're the grand magicians, the ones with all the power. Your father was the King Gar, the weather worker. You and your family had Morg in your midst, breaking bread with you, breathing the same air. How many hours did you spend closeted with him, studying your precious magics? How is it none of you suspected who and what he was? How could you not know?
Do you think I've not asked myself that question? He retorted. Do you think an hour goes by that I don't look back on every hour, every minute we spent in Morg's presence, and wonder how it was we were so blind? You can't blame us for our failures more than I do, Daphne, believe me. All I can say in our defense is that Morg may once have been Morgan, a flesh and blood man. But whatever he is now, it's something beyond Dorinan comprehension. Not even your prophecy could name him, could it? Nor all your vaunted visions.
At least we had our visions, she retorted. 600 years ago, Javale knew you and yours were a mistake, but your precious Baal shouted him down. How better might we be prepared for this day if...
His fist thumped the tabletop.
You can't know that! Daphne, finger-pointing is pointless.
What's done is done. My people came, yours accepted us, and so your fates were bound to ours. It's history and unchangeable. We have to focus on the future and hope against hope for a miracle.
We have a miracle, she said fiercely. His name is Asher.
I hope you're right, he said, suddenly tired. I hope he's everything your prophecy claims him to be. For if he's not, this kingdom's doomed, and every soul within it damned.
I'm right, she said,
then nodded at the tray with its burden of half-drunk soup and partly chewed bread.
Are you finished with that?
He nodded. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't do it more justice. As she moved to take it away, he held up a hand, pausing her, and sifted swiftly through his haphazard pile of papers. Here, he said, and slid three sheets under the bread plate for safekeeping. More spells for our miracle to practice. She looked at them as though they might bite.
When will you have finished all of them?
By tonight sometime, I think. I hope.
I hope so too, she said, and glanced at the curtained window as a fresh wave of hail rattled the glass. Matt says the weather magic's unraveling faster by the hour. The wall won't stand much longer now.
He pulled a face. Then I'd best get back to work. Thank you for the soup.
You're welcome,
she said, and left him to his papers and Baal's diary. Cowering behind a pile of old boxes in a weather-beaten shed, Vera raised her voice above the wereslag's howling screech and shouted,
Kill it! Kill it!
Panting, Asher slashed a sigil through the air and uttered the words of banishment. The wereslag's writhing orange tentacles burst into heatless flame. Its eight clawed arms withered. It shriveled and died, leaving only a ring of smoking dirt on the shed floor where its acid slime had dripped and boiled.
Sink me bloody sideways, he muttered,
and sagged against a handy post. How many more, eh? Sidling out from safety, Vera shuffled through the sheaf of papers in a hand.
That's the last of the spells Matt brought out before. Then how many are left to come? You'll have to ask Gar, she said tartly, eyebrows lowered in a challenge.
He curled his lip and looked out of the shed at the drowned garden, at the fringe of the black woods, and the trees flogging themselves to death against the leaden sky. He was exhausted, had lost count of the monstrosities he'd called forth with just a few words in the power of his mind. It was a mighty uncomfortable feeling, knowing that things like wereslags and trolls and horselers and gruesomes lurked just beneath his skin. If Da could see him now. Unsettled, still glooming at the lashing forest, his fingers crept up to his chest and rubbed at the hard little lump of crystal nestled in his flesh. Every time he summoned his power, a feat that came more and more easily, something else he didn't much care for, the crystal tickled, buzzed, as though woken from shallow sleep. He'd asked and he'd asked, but Vera wouldn't tell him any more about its purpose. Just,
You'll know when the time comes. Stop fretting me, child.
She said now, close enough to swat his shoulder.
Leave it be. We've more spells yet to conquer, and it'll be too dark soon to go on.
He groaned.
Let a body rest a moment, Vera. I've been at this for bloody hours. And hours are all we have left before